We were sitting at 111, so we gave up 111, 147, and 202. So we gave up our fifth-round pick and our third sixth-round pick. And we got back 96, which we used for Xavier Cooper. And we got back 219, their first seventh-rounder. So we've been backed up, that 17 spots in from the end of the sixth to the top of the seventh. And then we moved 119 and 147 to move to the end of the third.
He is, and it's his, his college production. It just jumps out at you. As you go through this process, sometimes it gets very complicated with the numbers and the statistics and the measurables. And we have a saying that the best predictor of future success is past success. And this is a guy that has a knack. He can find a quarterback. And that was a guy that we've had our eye on for a long time throughout this process, and very excited for him to become a Cleveland Brown.
When you watch the tape, the player utilization is a big part of it. He was not a guy that had his hand on the ground a lot. Even you go back and watch the tape this past year, they moved the kid all over the place. He played stacked. He played Sam. He played everywhere. So I think it was the ability for him to not be pegged in one spot and move around and kind of use his skill set against a variety of people. And you can see the kid's got all the tools to have success. Definitely a guy that I thought could run the football, could catch the football. Dynamic player, can return kicks, can catch punts. He's got a complete skill set to affect our roster in multiple ways. So love the fact that he's quick, agile, well-balanced. I think one of my favorite things that I watch is when you watch the kid run through trash and there's guys on the ground, he can jump over people, hit the ground, and then still make a cut and keep his balance. And a lot of good things to like as what he brings to the table.
Yeah, we're adding two guys that we've targeted for a long time. And it's as most D-line rooms are, it's a rotation. The one encouraging thing is you look at some of these guys that are playing in college that are like Shelton, for example, playing against the spreads. Those guys you're finding college D-linemen that are playing 80, 90 plays a game, whereas now you can get them in a rotation in the NFL and they're that much more effective when they're not taking as many reps.
I think he can do everything, but I do think initially, I think a lot of people probably pegged him because of his height. He's not small. He's 207 pounds. So I think that a lot of people are going to kind of gravitate him to that third down role just because of his measurables. But I do think the guy's a capable runner. He ended Miami as all-time leading rusher down there. The guy's talented, and he's been productive. So regardless of how he fits in, I think the guy's going to get his opportunities to both carry the ball, catch it, and contribute on special teams.
Well, it's something we talk about when you're putting a roster together that you want to have, and I've talked about this before, you want to have diversity in the skill sets in the room, the wide receiver room, even with your tight ends and your running backs, where you want to be able to match up differently different weeks. Some weeks it might be a good matchup for Terrence. Other weeks might be a good matchup for Crow. And now Duke kind of gives us that added element. You don't want to use the label of third down back, but that type of this is a guy that we think we can get out of the backfield, get some mismatches. So again, like I said, we've varied the skill set in the room, and I think that's important to do so you don't become one dimensional.
I don't see that one. I do see other guys in his play. I guess it's natural from a scouting perspective. You generally try to pair guys together and say this guy's got this guy's run style, he's got this guy's strength, he's got this guy's ability. But I wouldn't say it's LeSean McCoy for me. I think they did actually an interesting job when they did it on the network. I think he's got some Giovanni Bernard to him. I think he's got some Brian Westbrook to him. I think he's got some there's several other guys. And again, it's not just the measurable piece, it's the player utilization, if you will. He's a guy that does a lot of interesting things or different things. He caught the ball well, he ran the ball well. And like I said, he's just short. He's not small, I guess is the best way for me to articulate that. For me, it's not about all the just looking at a guy's numbers and saying, hey, this guy was productive. He'll be a good NFL player. You watch the tape and you watch the guy. How does he generate his production? Was he making plays on his own? Was he forcing his way to the quarterback if he's a rusher? Was he breaking tackles and making people miss? There's a lot of variety that goes into making that evaluation. But when you watch that evaluation, and then it equals the production, I think, is when it's a great benefit. There was some calculated risk, and I would say from our perspective, we had a bundle of players, and as we looked at that bundle, you start looking at the names, you say, well, man, we got three, four, five, six guys left, whatever that number is at the time. And then as guys get picked off and as you look at kind of who's out there, you make some of those calculated risks to try to get the guys that you want to get.
We're in the whatever it takes business. I think running the football is going to be an important element of what we do. But I think we'll do some things in the pass game as well. They might go in the stat sheet as passes, but it'll be more controlled type runs, swing screens, regular running back screens. I mean, getting the ball to guys in space. We feel that we have those types of playmakers. I think Terrence West has a ton of untapped potential. And obviously, you know, Crow had a solid year for us, is only going to take a step forward. And now we add Duke, who, like I said, brings a skill set where he, you know, he's the type of guy where you can get it to him in space and he can make a guy miss and turn a very short throw into a long game.
We've considered a lot of guys that have actually gone off the board. I mean, anytime you're sitting in there in the draft room, it's like Battleship. So you look at guys and you like guys and then you have them slated in a certain spot. And at the end of the day, there's guys that get plucked in front of you. And so whether or not we add one later in the draft will be determined by kind of who's available when it's our turn to pick and where they stack up versus the other players that are there. I really felt like he was a difference maker. I mean, the guy played with an unbelievable motor, ran and hustled to the ball, showed that first step quick explosion to beat a block and get up the field. I think the guy's got a chance to be a really, really good NFL player.
No, not complications. Just, you know, he's in the, you know, just recovered, and it's as with any other knee injury, there's just uncertainty. I think every recovery is different. It's not like he's been declared, hey, he's fully recovered, good to go. So I think it was a general statement, was nothing specific to Phil. Yeah, I mean, we're always looking for that hybrid type outside backer. And I don't think you can have enough pass rushers, especially you need ones that are fresh in the fourth quarter when you can rotate guys and roll them through and move them around. And sometimes you put them in coverage and sometimes you rush them inside, you rush them outside. I just think that causes a lot of problems for an offense, and he has a skill set that right from the beginning when we watched him, that I think we were instantly drawn to him.